This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We are back here on the morning shift, and we've got Rusty Menzel in the building with us. Good morning.
What did I walk into?
I don't know.
I mean, we're talking about Garrett's relationships and Woodland Wood.
Andy Van Slyke of the baseball card.
Oh, man.
A lot happening here this morning. Man.
It's been a minute.
Garrett, if you really want a talent, you need to get your chainsaw and learn how to use a chainsaw to carve, like, you know, statues and stuff. Those people have talent.
Yeah, these dudes do, like, a bear and stuff, totem poles.
Where does that come from?
You know, whittling wood, being an Eagle Scout. You don't think the guy that carved stuff out of a chainsaw was an Eagle Scout? Right. Oh, you got another thing coming.
I was a little bit out of pocket.
Just random.
It was. You know. Nonetheless, Rusty.
What's wrong with being random?
Conversation I was having with Garrett a minute ago. What's more likely to be on your television on Sunday, the Daytona 500 or the NBA All-Star Game?
Neither, because I have a football camp in Valdosta this weekend.
Well, that sounds fun.
I got how many signups you got on a deal like that? Is it one of those, like, as many
this
as we one, can get?
No. I cap those things, man. Okay. This one's a good one. I would say the kids out of South Georgia, North Florida, very appreciative that someone comes down.
Sure.
We do it at Lowndes, and it's a good camp. It's a good camp.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Probably about 150 kids.
I went to a traveling camp that was like three or four schools when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I think it was maybe Middle Tennessee that would come down to Florida and put one on and have like a few other smaller schools. It was always a good deal.
They can't be on the road anymore like that.
Yeah.
They can't do stuff like that.
Really? Mm-mm. Wow. Good for them, I guess.
What do you think about the struggles Georgia's had in hoops real quick?
Can't shoot.
Well, and see, I said this earlier and I kind of got like, I think people thought I was thinking about, this is Mike White. This is what he did at Florida.
Yep.
His teams jump out good. They hit these lulls in the season. They hit lulls in games where they can't shoot. But the reality is all that said, this is the best place Georgia basketball's been in years.
It just so happens to be at the same time the league is the healthiest league in the history of basketball.
The deepest league in the history of the earth.
I mean, it's
crazy. By the way, the history of the earth.
Yeah.
The SEC team is going to be unreal.
Hold on now.
It's going to be crazy.
Hold on now. But they have not separated themselves since league play has started. I mean, they're 500.
Leave Carl Ravitch alone.
The Carl Ravitch comment from the other night.
Dude.
Where he said that, you know, it's crazy.
Everyone has a moment.
I mean, come on, dude.
Everyone has a moment. Everybody has a moment.
Oh, man.
That toupee on his head must be too tight.
Dude, he was so pumped to bring that stat to light.
I love Carl Ravitch.
Somebody was in his ear going, hey, they're 82 and 82.
Bail on this. Bail on this, Carl. Bail. Anyways, man, we've been going through a lot of draft stuff recently and talking about what Georgia players will be where, who you like, who you don't like. I even saw, was it Malachi Starks I saw mocked at one point, you know, that's going to enter the first round?
There's some questions on him as far as, I see a lot from about mid-first to early second.
Yeah.
I think his coverage skills, his ball skills are elite. I think he struggled a little bit tackling this year. Like, you want to stick your face up in there enough? And that's going to be the question on him. He's going to work out. He's a super freak workout. He's a great kid. He's going to blow people away. I tell you, the guy that's trending, and I talked with someone yesterday with NFL Connections, you better watch Smile Munden. He's healthy. Word is he is in that 4.55 range.
Ooh.
At 228 right now. If his foot medical, if he gets a good medical there, he's going to be a second rounder because he can blitz and he can play all three downs. And Smile's a guy that's also going to absolutely blow you away in an interview. Smile Munden sitting here right now, you would just be like, that's a damn dude,
man. I love to hear that, man.
Yeah.
I love to hear that.
Yeah. I would love, I mean, listen, I've given up on Jalen Walker ending up. I just pray to God he don't end up in Philly.
Well, no, he's going to end up in Carolina, apparently.
That's what everyone's saying. Yeah, we're going to pull up the mock draft that Field Yates had, mm-hmm. and he had Jalen Walker ending up with the Panthers, actually. And then he also had Mykal Williams ending up with the Jets.
You know what's going to help Georgia? And listen, just right or wrong, because these are different players, that Philly deal is going to help Georgia. These guys that people are going to reach sometimes and go, what? We should do that, too. And so I'm interested to see. There's some people that I talk to that think Georgia – I think everybody thinks Ohio State's the lock. There's some people I talk to that think Georgia might have the most players drafted.
Wow. And help me out here because I didn't pay attention yesterday. How many invites did they get? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think they got 14, I think, and they missed Dan Jackson, who was a freaking MVP.
UGA has 14 along with Texas.
That's crazy.
And Dan Jackson didn't go. So that's 15.
And he played well at the Senior Bowl.
He probably had a great Senior Bowl.
Tell me why I should – I'm just not sold on Mykal Williams.
Here's the thing. Here's two things on Mykal. I've said this before on here, and everybody I talk to, I think Mike and I've had this discussion. There's only so many 6'5", 260-pound guys that can play five, who can play the edge and rush the passer. It's the hardest body. Saying that, I was told the other day that after the Clemson game when he got cut blocked, that he basically played hurt all year.
Okay.
He never recovered. And you see him in the Texas game twice, you're like, that's that dude. And then you turn around and watch like UMass and Mississippi State, and he's nowhere to be found.
Well, that's my thing. I watch him and Shamar Stewart play, and I feel like they're the same guy.
Yep. I would be very comfortable with the Falcons taking him at 15. I wouldn't be comfortable taking him at 8. I would take Jalen Walker before him at 8.
Well, I was going to – that's the next question.
Because there's only so many of those bodies to go around. And I know this kid, how he's wired. Now, listen, he's had Drew Rosenhaus since he was a freshman.
That's what I want to know. What's here?
Since he was a freshman.
Well, that's what I want to know is what's here because that's as important as the other stuff is what's up there.
He's got some dog to him now. I mean, he loves football. I just worry that after he took that cut block in that Clemson game – I just worry, like, did he shut it down enough to, like, you know what? Because I'm telling you, his workouts are going to be – the question's going to be the Jared Wilson. I'm hearing he's going to be the top center taken.
Yeah.
I'm hearing Smile Munden is going to blow this combine up. Malachi Starks is going to get picked apart a little bit because of his play this year. He also had Drew Rosenhaus for the last 2 years.
Which is crazy.
Both of those guys had Drew Rosenhaus.
Well, and that's the thing.
So they know they're going to be first rounders for 2 years.
To frame that question like that, it seems like every mock that I look at, I look for Mykal Williams and Jalen Walker and see where they fit.
Yep.
And it seems like each mock draft guy flips them. Like one guy going here, one guy going there. It's like and it's all about team value and team needs.
Yep.
But obviously they fit in a front seven for teams that need front seven, and that's exactly what we need here. I don't think either one of those guys make it to 15.
Not either.
But and I think you just answered it. Jalen Walker would be the guy that you would want at 15.
That's the guy I would want.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah. If we wind up with Mykal Williams, I'm good there because he is a tough ass dude. Now, you go back and watch the freshman game against Paris Johnson against Ohio State.
Yes.
I mean, he absolutely dealed him up now, and I've known Mykal since he was a 10th grader. I know how he's wired. I just wonder if he's got that. If he's got that, I've got to go get it for the next 10 years in that head because Jalen Walker does, without a doubt. Like Jalen Walker, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a damn dominator.
But if he goes to the Jets, like projected in this Field Yates mock draft, and I'm talking about Mykal, I think Aaron Glenn's probably someone that maybe could get it out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that I just wonder where he was health wise because. You watch the Texas game, and he took that game over in Austin. And then you watch Jalen Walker took that game over in Austin. You watch the second Texas game. He played great against two projected, potential first-rounders. So I just wonder where he is mind-wise. But for me, if you're going to ask me one question, the sure bet for Georgia, to me, is Jalen Walker.
Yeah.
And the more I was around him, I'm just telling you, this dude's I'm telling you, man, he is. He can play three downs. I'm very interested in where they project him.
He's going to be top 10. And the way he played the game screams, you know, that you got to have that guy on your defense and
college
coach.
His dad's a college coach. I mean,
how much do you know?
Checks boxes, man.
I want to stay in the SEC, but I want to leave Georgia for a second. How much you know about James Pierce? Because he's a guy that is right around our number where we will be.
Yep.
But I haven't. Mike and I have not watched him yet, and
I got a pretty good detail report on
him. Let's go.
So the get off, the bend, all of that is very elite, very elite. A little bit light in the pants, and what Georgia did twice against him was run right at him. They put big dudes on him to kind of take him out. It's almost like the way people started doing Harold Perkins.
Yeah.
No, don't let Harold Perkins run sideline to sideline on you. Get your ass beat.
Yeah,
you got to run. You got to gauge him, come at him.
Track you down.
James Pierce, to me, can be an elite pass rusher, and I know he tried to work on his weight this year. There's only so many of those guys that can get off like that, but I worry a little bit about the size of these tackles in the league. And getting their hands on him and him being able to set the edge.
You look at Jordan Mailata. It's like, man, he ain't going to struggle.
Well, that's the thing, because he's around the same size as Mike Green.
Explosive.
But one of the things that Mike Green from Marshall showed is that he's explosive, but he's also got strength. He's powerful now. Can Pierce – because that's where Mike Green, to me, excels, is he can play in the run. He can shed – you can't block him with a tight end. He does a good job of shedding blocks. Can Pierce do something similar?
You know, when the Eagles took Nolan Smith and everybody was like, yeah, it didn't work out. He ain't done much. And he didn't. I think James Pierce can be that guy. If you draft him in 3 years, you go, damn, we hit on this guy.
All
we
sudden,
may not have hit this
one. Season turns it on.
Second half, and he gets some training in him, some weight training in him.
I want to bring up a name that I think you're familiar with that is mocked after 15 in most of these. It seems like the Falcons could have this guy. If they wanted, that's Walter Nolan at Ole Miss.
Love him.
I look at this guy. I know he's an interior guy. I know a lot of people want edge corner. He's a difference maker.
Hungry.
He's from Tennessee. Yeah. Obviously went to a couple different places in the SEC. He's an Ole Miss guy. That front and what they were able to do to Georgia's offensive line in that matchup, it was wreak havoc.
He's one that won me over because he kind of gave you the vibes. I think he went to three high schools in 4 years in high school.
He
bounced around.
Went to
Knoxville. Yeah. Everybody thought he was going there. Then he bounced around in college. But what he did this year showed me that his switch turned on.
Yeah.
And there's only so many of those interior game wreckers. And I remember everybody saying after they worked him out, they were like, yeah, that guy's number one player in high school. He's number one player in the country. He's worth the headache.
It's weird because and I know we got to get a break. A lot of times when you look at going to different high schools and different colleges, it's a negative. Like I think at this point in time, I look at it, I think of it as a positive.
Yeah,
he was productive everywhere.
Yeah, he was.
And I'm like, that means he can be productive here.
Yeah, you never know what's going on. Barry Alexander is going to be the next one with so many schools, so many places. Does Barry Alexander switch turn on or not? Because Walter Nolan did.
Be sure to see how it all plays out. Yep. Rusty, thanks for joining us. And up next, Braves spring training. We got a preview for you up ahead here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen.
Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Following along here on the morning shift, and spring training is getting underway, or it is underway, I should say, for the Atlanta Braves. So we've talked about the MLB's top 100 players. They had Ronald Acuna ranked 16th behind Paul Skeens, and the Cy Young Award winner, Chris Sale, ranked at 20th. But now there are some other questions that are being asked. Is it World Series or bust for this Braves team going into this season?
I don't see why. I think with the roster you have, sometimes I think you look at it and say it's always World Series or bust, but we're not nearing a situation where, you know, there's anything that is drastically going to change. This is not, you know, sometimes I think when you look at certain like NFL rosters and you look at how much, you know, hey, this player's going to have to get paid next year. This guy's money's going to come due. This is our last year with a rookie quarterback or whatever it is. I don't feel that way about the Braves. It's an ever-evolving style of thing. I think when you look at Ronald Acuna in his prime, yes. When you look at the talent you have with Matt Olson, yes. Spencer Strider, everything else. But I just think it's always going to be the attitude for the Atlanta Braves as you move towards the season because of the talent. But, you know, it's not like there's this immediate feeling that this year is the end of some kind of era, in my opinion.
End of an era, no, I don't think it's World Series. Well, you know, it's not World Series or bust. You only have three starters right now. Like, you only have three legitimate starters that you know who they are. And one of them is the guy that's had one healthy season in the last, like, four. So, and it might have been a Cy Young. And I'm talking about rotation starters.
Yes.
But, you know, it's funny because last year when they were bringing, they had Strider, and they had Freed, and they had Sell. And they had Ronaldo Lopez as a guy, and you knew you kind of looking, and you had Morton, and you had a legitimate starting five rotation that you were going into. Now, there was a question mark about Lopez, and yeah, there was some questions about Sell because of his injury pass, but you all these guys went down there and said it was World Series or bust. Matt Olson and all these guys were up there, and they were like, yeah, it's World Series or bust, and now they're being asked about it like they did last year, and their tune has changed a little bit, and because of what they went through last year.
Last year was the year to ask it, given what you knew about the health of everybody and the talent. This year, I don't think is the year to be asking that question. If they get there, great. But even last year, when everything went off the rails, they still found themselves in the postseason.
That's because they have how many guys on the top 100? Marcel, Olson, Riley. And Olson had a bad year.
Riley had a down year. They all had down.
I mean, other than Ozuna.
There wasn't anybody, I think, that outdid expectations other than
Ozuna and Schwarber.
Schwarber. Spencer Schwellenbach. I was going to say Chris Sale, but yeah, you're talking about Ozuna as well.
I don't think it's, you know, Ozuna had a half a season in the last three before last year that he was really good in. I mean, think about it. He had 2020 was good. 21 was a debacle. 22 was a debacle. 23 until June was a debacle, or maybe May was a debacle, and then he just turned it on. And a lot of people said, yeah, but everybody had a career year in 2023. He'll go back to the debacle, and he didn't. He had another career year last season.
He was literally at times the only thing keeping this team afloat.
He was the best player named.
I'm all suing up from the Braves.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marcel. He was the best player. He was the best player on the Braves team last year, not named Chris Sale. And there's no way around it.
No, there's not.
There's no argument made for any other player.
I would ask the question more of it being World Series or bust. My question would be, how fast can the Braves get going in April and May?
It's a really good question.
And that to me is what we need to answer sooner or later, because even before the mass amount of injuries, it didn't feel like the Braves were able to get going at all. And that's before the Ronald Acuna stuff.
Well, here's why it's even a better question, I think you realize. Can you afford a slow start? Because the Mets are retooled and ready to go. And I say retooled, they went to the NLCS last year with a team that had nothing spent on it. The Phillies have already spent. So can you afford a slow start in the division, which you might – I got to re-look at the schedule, but you know, you start off with the Padres on the road, and they always seem to play some division games early before there's a lull.
You know who's going to factor into whether or not it's a slow start? It's going to be Ronald Acuna, and it's going to be the status of his health and where he's at coming back from injury. MLB Network discussed just this.
Well, if injury is going to cause you to drop 15 spots on the list, if he's healthy this year, I guarantee he's going to be back in the top five again next year. Disrespect, I don't know, but if he's watching this, I guarantee he'll be like, oh, really? You want to put me there? I'm going to show you what I can do. This guy does it all. I mean, you know, top to bottom, we saw the 40-70 season before that, his ability in the outfield to go get the ball, to throw. He's the complete player. The only thing that keeps him at 16 right now is the fact that he had that injury. So if he's healthy and back, I assure you, when we're doing this list again next year, he's back in the top five.
Look, here's the thing. Remember, his 23 season was incredible. His 22 season when he came off injury, and I think he rushed back a little bit, wasn't.
Yeah.
And he dealt with some pain in the knee, and there was a lot of speculation. Was he hurt? Was he wasn't? The fact that they're so open and upfront about don't rush back. Don't rush back. Well, dude, we went and signed Yerickson Profar.
Yeah.
So you don't rush back.
Right. And you still have over Angelico. I think the thing that most people are missing about Ronald Acuna is what he does on the base pass. And we talked about the 40-70 year a couple of years ago. He finished last season as the leading stolen base guy for the Atlanta Braves. I mean, like, you want to talk about MVP? The guy, when he's stealing 70, and I think he had 16 before he got injured last year, if he gets even close to that, to the point, he's going to be a top five player in the league.
But real quick, I think.
What's up, G?
Oh, sorry, I hit the wrong mic. I think something for Ronald Acuna specifically, is this something that he needs to change his game, you think, after having a second knee injury? I mean, we saw Barry Bonds went through this in the 90s. I mean, he was a very similar type of player who was stealing bases all the time. And then he more adjusted to kind of just a slugger.
Are you saying change it in the sense of to not get injured again or
not
change it to
protect
not
himself.
Steal?
Protect
I mean,
his body.
Well, the reality is when you have an ACL injury, because did he injure the same leg twice or is it opposite? And that's what I was going to – that's usually what happens. You tear one, you're more likely to tear the other.
First off, Barry Bonds changed his game because of his ego.
Well, because of the juice.
And something else.
That's why he did it. That's why he did it. He put on and he played the game the right way when he came in, and he was a Hall of Famer before. He didn't like the fact, and he's pretty much admitted it, guys. It's not like I'm making this up.
Right.
Pretty much admitted the fact that he didn't like the fact that Sammy Sosa, who was just an average player, and Mark McGwire, who was nothing but a home run hitter, got all this love for the game, and Barry Bonds was playing the game the right way and got overshadowed. And I understand that. There's no ill will towards that. The problem is I didn't like the way he did it, and I don't agree. And those guys were doing it too. And I don't agree with it. Ronald Acuna Jr. to me is not Ronald Acuna Jr. if he changes the way he plays.
Yeah. Can I bring up another guy whose name sticks out to me more than Barry Bonds? And it's Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. started towards the latter half of his career, started having the injuries. And I don't know that he went about changing his game very much, but he was not the same player. And obviously he had the stint with the Reds, but I don't think he had the long-term impact that the kid that you expected from the kid. You know, he's obviously a legend, but when he got to, you know, he's a major leaguer at 19.
Yeah.
But when he got into those latter years that Barry Bonds all of a sudden took off in, he was a shell of what he used to be.
And if you're talking about changing the game, maybe some mental aspect comes into that. It's always a hurdle getting over injuries for players. Let's go back to MLB Network and their thoughts on Acuña coming off the injury.
Oh, he's likely to miss the first month of the season, right. So that's another reason maybe to slide him back, because you're not going to get a month of production. And when saw him come back the last time when he tore his ACL, that first year he was good, but he wasn't 40 and 70. And I think they pulled back on the base running a little bit with him as well. So I think that the fact he's gone through this before and understands what it takes to work his way back will help him this year, where maybe I think he'll be more aggressive than he was the last time. But I don't think there's any disrespect moving him to this spot. It's the right place for him.
Well, and they keep saying spot because he is 16th on their top 100 list, where he was last year. You said he was ranked higher, right?
Yeah, I think he was top five last year. Number one, yeah.
He's one.
And that's where he had one of the greatest seasons baseball had ever seen. Yeah, okay, they may move the bag bigger. So what? You know, no one complained when Shohei stole 59 bases last year. I didn't hear, well, they made the bag bigger, you know. He still didn't hit 70. No, there's no problem with it. Just like I don't have a problem with Spencer Strider not being on the list. You were hurt last year.
Again, it's right now. The list literally says right now.
Well, and it's the exact same thing as the NFL Top 100. It is based off what you did the season before. That's okay. Ronald Acuña Jr. wasn't great before the injury last year. He was off to somewhat of a down year. And so... I
remember he had the setback with the knee in camp that wasn't this.
Yeah.
Remember when we were like, oh, man, is he going to get off to a slow start? And he did.
And he did. And I don't want him changing. I think it's a good question, Garrett. I don't want him changing. Just like when I heard last year, well, maybe he should sit an extra year after the injury. No. No, I'm not wasting a year under a very cap-friendly deal for him, or excuse me, team-friendly deal. Because I'm worried about his future. No, play now. I have you now. You might not be here in 4 years. We've seen that with the Braves. Get everything you can out of the players while you can.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We got a life of squid.
Yeah, there is a – said yeah. Daytona 500 update plus football players suing Netflix documentary.
Uh-oh.
What? Next. Morning Shift Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Rolling along here on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. NBA All-Star Weekend is here. Trae Young out there as an alternate or replacement for Giannis. And he is on Team Chuck. And as we know, they have rejuvenated the format of this to try to bring back interest. So the All-Stars are going to compete in a mini tournament of four teams in three games, with the winner being the first to 40 points. There is Team Chuck, Team Kenny, Team Shaq, and Team Candace Parker.
I think it's cool to kind of reinvigorate this thing. And look, I think from here on out, as long as there is an All-Star weekend, it's going to be a moving target. And just honestly, just talking to Rusty Mansell during the break a minute ago about how certain dunk contests and All-Star games were appointment television, and you didn't have the Instagram video, the 30-second highlight. You didn't have the DVR. You didn't have a lot of the things going on that you have now. And now it's like, I feel like any highlight you can get from certain All-Star events, you're just going to pull them up on your phone and kind of get the rundown that way. But I'm glad that they're involving personalities, obviously having – you know, Chuck and Shaq and those guys involved in this and being a part of it, I think it reinvigorates it to a point that I'll want to watch it just to see them, just to see Trae Young. But, you know, I think any conversation you're having about All-Star Weekend in a negative light needs to be had about every All-Star Weekend in every sport.
I see your arms crossed. What are you about to say?
Well, I mean, no, I
crazy look in his
eye. Because that's what I said this morning. This is exactly what I said. What Rusty reiterated is that we used to gather around and this was – if we were at a party, we would watch the All-Star game, the slam dunk contest, the three-point contest. It was great. And then one of them got watered down. You watched the three-point contest to get to the slam dunk contest. And then when they watered down the slam dunk contest because Stars decided they didn't want to compete anymore, I mean, we still argue about the fact that Dominique Wilkins was robbed by Michael Jordan in Chicago on the dunk contest. That's still that's one of the great NBA debates because it was true.
But don't you feel like the reason that we don't have those conversations anymore is when you look at the best players in the NBA, nobody wants to see a dunk contest between Joker and Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Like it's not the game it was back then when you're having the dunk contest.
How many dunk contests has LeBron been in?
I don't know, three? I have no idea.
Like maybe one.
He's in one. 20 years, so.
I don't think he's been in one, has he?
I think he's been in one.
I didn't think he competed in one. I'm pretty sure he hasn't.
But again, it's kind of goes by.
You're telling me Jimmy Butler can't dunk? Couldn't do a great dunk?
You're kind of making my point. If somebody said, hey, Jimmy Butler's going to be in the dunk contest, you're going to be like, oh, man, I got to see that.
Well, I'm a hell of a lot more likely to watch that than a guy in the G League, Mike. I mean, seriously.
You're making my point. You sound like you're arguing with me, but you're making the exact point.
It doesn't matter. It does matter. I would go – what I'm telling you is when this – see, this is where you're losing me. When the Stars stopped competing in the dunk contest, the fans stopped watching.
I think it happened in reverse.
It did not.
I think it happened. I think fans are like, dude, how many different dunks can you do? And then the Stars are like, what really difference does it make?
I mean, Mac McClung is a defending champion. He is a G League player, and he gets to come back. Like, tell me, I don't even care how it happened, but when, what's his name, jumped over the car and Key is there, like, that's. Blake Griffin, thank you. That's so, like, that's what we.
Memorable.
I don't care about Stephon Castle doing anything. Like, when we lost the Stars and when the Stars opted out, that's when it lost its luster. That and on the fact that the game became just an highlight reel. It became like you're watching, what was that, and three stuff.
I was going to say, it's like the Harlem Globetrotters.
So that's what happened. And you're not wrong about the fact that a lot of these sports need to rethink the way they do it. To me, baseball is the only one. And they've rethought the home run derby because for a while there it got stale.
Yeah.
But the reality is it used to be special. It feels less special. I hate it because to me there's I don't care if I've already seen a guy do a windmill dunk. I want to know if you still the fact that they can do it. The fact that there's guys that can go out there
you go
and do
out and
these
appreciate
things.
The athleticism yeah. and the skill that it takes to fly high, throw it, you know, because throw down like
I just
because the league has a problem. You know what the problem in the league is everybody wants to run down and they're barely across half court and they're like, I'm going to chunk a three. And
but
that's
you want to go see the same people go windmill dunk? I don't know. Like I would. What my point of this whole thing is, I would rather watch this version, this tournament version of the All Star game, than I would an actual All Star game. I think it's a good move on their part.
I don't care about that. What I care about is the fact that it used to be a full weekend of specialness. I remember driving through this city in 2003, and it was just packed on a Saturday night. And now it's just, oh great, who is Matias Bezelis?
Don't be disrespectful.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Do you know who he is? I don't. That's not a – I mean, I do because he plays in a league and I watch the games. The reality is, though, is that Mac McClung is in there and we haven't seen – I think LeBron maybe competed in one. Like, the guys you want to see doing it aren't doing it, and that is a problem. If you don't think it is, I'm sorry. It is, and it's been one, and it's why it lost its luster. The three-point contest has more cachet in it than the dunk contest does.
I can honestly say – The LeBron would not move the meter for me. If they said LeBron was doing the dunk contest, I would be like, okay.
Not now. In his prime, it would have.
That's what I'm saying.
I absolutely think it would move the meter right now.
It wouldn't for me.
If LeBron came out and said, I'm doing the slam dunk contest, people are going
to. Not at age 40.
Are you kidding? That makes it even more spectacular.
I actually agree with Tiffany.
I'm not sure it doesn't make it more spectacular. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go out of my way to turn it on.
Well,
I don't need to see LeBron.
I think you're in the minority on that. I think a lot of people would be like, I want to see this. It's almost like it would revive the slam dunk contest if he came out and did it.
Then get rid of it. Because if you don't think it's more important than Mac McClung doing it, then I'm sorry. I don't know.
I think you and I are talking in reverse. I think when ratings started falling because it got stale, and I think the guys started being like, okay, what's the point of me doing this? I think it worked in reverse of what you're talking about.
I'd love to have numbers. I wish I had numbers to see when, you know, the last major player did it and how that compared to if the numbers were dropping off.
Well, yeah, and that's – look, it's been this argument. I'm almost tired of having it, a debate, because it did, to your point, it did. And it is that's why it becomes stale, and that's why the thing that used to be the most anticipated part of All-Star Weekend is no longer. A little Baron Burton's W sauce, maybe some Bloody Mary mix.
A lot of it.
Might need a Bloody Mary on Monday after the Daytona 500 and the NBA All-Star game, because I will watch Trey in that game.
Well, we got a holiday on Monday.
That's right. So I'm saying I might have to turn around.
You can turn up.
Well, Sprinkles has got a vet appointment at 10:30 that morning, so I might have one after that.
Turn up.
The way you just said turn up, that's so belabored. Turn up.
You can turn up.
And my boy Chaz. He got the message. Multiple people hit him up and said, hey, you better highlight your boy because he needs some Allen Lager. He got it for me. It's the official beer also of Kennesaw State Athletics. So we're going to hit two stories. Let's start with the first one. Daytona 500 weekend. It is to me, even the fringe fans of the sport that don't watch all year do watch this race. It's a big race. It is the Super Bowl of motorsports, as they call it. Just happens first.
Yeah, first race of the year.
That sound was that was Jimmy Johnson off the pace this year, running by himself after all the cars in the pack. That was actually Helio Castroneves, who will be been there as well.
Provisional.
Weird provisional that it makes no sense whatsoever for the sport. The duels were awesome. The first one was phenomenal. Bubba Wallace gets the win, but before we get to Bubba, the story of it. Because Bubba's locked in, and you expect him to be up front.
For people that don't know, Bubba's he's in Michael Jordan's car. Bubba drives Michael Jordan's 23 car, the McDonald's car.
Yeah, it's also Denny Hamlin's car. It's 2311.
Okay, well, it's not 11; it's the 23 car.
But it's 2311 racing.
Jordan's half of that car.
Anyways, I didn't know this was mic'd up all of a sudden. Anyways,
I don't think you're giving enough context.
Anyway, I wasn't done.
Let me do your job for you.
You know what? Just stay out of my way. So here's the deal. He wins. In these dual races, there can be cars that aren't locked into the field by qualifying. They have to race their way in. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had one of those cars. He is the owner of Junior Motorsports. He had his Xfinity driver, Justin Allgaier, driving the car. Race their way in. Dale Jr. is an ambassador for the sport, and he was more excited than I think I've seen anyone in a long time for almost anything.
But I'm gonna tell you, man, this sport's amazing. Everything about it, I've seen it from so many different lenses, and I love the challenges. I wouldn't want it any other way. This was hard emotionally, but I can't believe that we get to race on Sunday. I just can't believe it.
This
guy's
ecstatic.
I want to explain.
Basically, yeah, he's got Chris Stapleton's money on the car to sponsor the car, but these guys, when they try to race their way in, there's a lot of money out of pocket that goes into it. And if they don't get in, it's all for nothing.
Yeah.
Because the sponsor will get another race.
Well, and two, I don't want to do your job for you, but I think you got to add the caveat. This is the first time Junior Motorsports has ever attempted an entry into the Daytona 500. They got Chris Stapleton, obviously world-renowned singer, to hop on board and kind of split that cost with his Traveler's Whiskey. And so them making a run at it was a massive deal. And the fact that you could spend all that money and still not be in the race on Sunday would have been a massive upset to this entire company.
Now, the Bubba Wallace part of this is that he's the guy that has been over there with Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin's team. He does drive the 23 car. The other car is 45, both of Jordan's numbers. And he's struggled since he got there. His personality has not been the same. I've noticed it. He felt for the first time in a long time like the guy who grew up in the sport, that you got the joyful guy, fun, joking. I even heard him in an interview, but he's really good friends with my driver, Ryan Blaney. They're best friends, and he was in his wedding. He talked about dropping the ring in the wedding. It was kind of a cool interview.
My friend was out there at that wedding.
But Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to have been there at that wedding because Ryan Blaney's my
date. Actually, never mind. You're married. I was like, she needed a date, but never mind.
Amy would have understood, I think, if I went as just a chaperone.
Yes, yeah, sure.
But Bubba gets the win, and he sounds like old school Bubba, which was really cool to hear.
You got you one now, and you got the boss Michael Jordan one. I think he'll be a little pumped up this weekend as well, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I think he got in last night, so it's definitely a makeup for last night and the speed that we had. But we always know, like, kind of Toyotas will race really well in. So all in all, good day, good night.
Bubba Wallace wins dual race number one.
Then NASCAR did what NASCAR does in the second duel, and they screwed it all up because they throw a yellow when there shouldn't have been. They should have let guys race to the finish line. They were literally, I don't know, from me to Mike to the start-finish line, or from me to you, Tiff, from the start-finish line, and they throw a caution and stop the race and don't let it finish, which makes no sense because the caution, the wreck was behind.
I'm just glad it wasn't Sunday when they did this. And hopefully they can get it out of the way.
I hope they don't do the same thing there. And they took the win away from a guy that stood there expecting to get the flag at the start-finish line, and Erik Jones. They ended up giving it to Austin Cindric, who... Just ridiculous, but it's going to be a fun weekend. Really excited for the Daytona 500 as always, and hopefully I get to see Ryan Blaney next weekend at the Ambetter Health 400 in Atlanta as a Daytona 500 champion, along with being a NASCAR champion.
Ka-chow! Ka-chow!
And Mike picked a new driver who wrecked in his duel. So.
As did a lot of people. If you do want to see my new driver, it is the video is posted on my social media at MPJohnson79. Check it out. Then come to the race next weekend.
All right. Well, enjoy your weekend of sports, and a long weekend it is. So stay safe out there. Have a good time. We will see you guys back here on Tuesday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929. The Game Steakhouse is next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.